my people, come out of the state church. We're going to talk about this, and I'm going to just explain some things that have been kind of confusing to some people, and kind of teach on that a little bit too as well, as we look at this and understand this issue of what a state church, of the state church and what's going on right now, and how it end times, how it culminates in the end, and what it's all about here. Some people say, oh, well, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Well, let me firsthand say it doesn't matter if you think it's a big deal. Okay? First of all, it doesn't matter if I think it's a big deal. It matters what the Lord thinks about it. That's what the Lord has stated in His Word about it. That's what matters. Not whether you like it or I like it or this or that. You know, we live in a society today where people, well, if I like it, then that's cool. If I don't, well, then, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's like living, when you are submissive to God, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It matters what's right and what's wrong. That's what matters. People live in relativity today, though. There is no absolutes. No absolute right, no absolute wrong, just kind of whatever. No, that's not the way God works. God works in absolutes. Well, I don't see the big deal. Well, you don't have to. God does. And He stated very clearly in His Word that it is a big deal. Revelation chapter 18, verse number 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and of the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. He says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Come out of Babylon. God is calling a remnant out of Babylon, out of that state church mentality, out of those things. And people are waking up and saying, wait a minute, something just don't seem right with all this. You know, slowly, since Lyndon B. Johnson over the years and such, slowly have things become so corporatized in the church. For instance, I was talking to somebody one week, and I won't mention their name or anything, but I was talking to them, and they said that somebody from their parents' church couldn't help them move because it was a liability. Like the church members couldn't help them because it was like a liability. It was a liability for those members, you know, for the corporations. Be careful with that. It's a liability. Sorry, I can't return your phone call. It's a liability. That's some good shepherding right there. No, that's a president and a CEO making a business decision. That's what that is. It's just an executive. Listen, he's got to protect the corporation and its assets. Has to. That's the way they look at it. It's not biblical. Find that in the Bible where you don't help your brethren because it's a liability. There could be risk involved. Hey, I got news for you, friend. You get in the ministry and your whole life is about risk. Everything is. Don't get in the ministry unless you can't do anything else because God won't let you. God is calling out a remnant. We see in Revelation chapter 13, the mark of the beast and the setup and the culmination of a one world government. Read Revelation chapter 13. It is the culmination of a one world government. The mark of the beast, the Antichrist, all one movement, all coming under the same thing, all accepting a mark. It's going to be religious, folks. It's going to be mixed with religion and commerce. It's going to be mixed with business and religion and commerce and everything all together tied in. That's how it's going to work. And it's being set up now through churches. Through state churches, it's all starting to come together. To where we control the aspects of that church, or we have a say in what that church does. We've talked about the world being prepared for the mark of the beast. You can look at that sermon and the one world government. We see that Babylon, that same word mystery, is connected with Babylon. There has always been a harlot church and a true church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. There is always, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There has always been two forces that are at work. There is the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit and His Holy Righteous Son. And then there's the mystery of iniquity found in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, a person whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, the state church scheme will be used to push this delusion, I believe. The devil's not going to do away with all religion. Religion makes him a lot of converts. All right? Marvel not that Satan comes as an angel of light. Listen to that sermon, Lucifer, the light of the New Age religions. He comes as an angel of light. So he's religious. And he gives religious intellect. He gives religious teaching and knowledge, Gnosticism, and understanding. That's what he does. And it's culminated in Revelation chapter 17, verse number 5. And upon her head was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. What are we seeing forming? Well, you already have the Roman Catholic Church, which is the mother of all harlots. Yeah. But it's that harlot church, that one world movement. Who do you think runs the World Council of Churches? Who do you think runs it? Who preaches the king doctrine of church and state mixed? Rome. Hello? How much gold's in the Vatican? How rich are they? How much money do they have? They are a religious state. And they're all connected together. In the United States, all of these 501c3 nonprofit corporations, these corporations, the churches that turn their churches into corporations, all the same, all linked.
That's right.
All the same. Oh, come on now. There's some good men. Yeah, they are. And those good men need to come out.
Amen.
Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people.
Amen.
It's time they come out. There she is, that Rome, that harlot church, that one world government that will culminate in the fourth kingdom and take over the world. That spirit of Antichrist that is already at work. But God Almighty is calling a remnant out of people who will stand. Psalm 94:16, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? If that verse don't fire you up, you might be dead. Because that verse makes me want to scream. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Because God is calling a remnant out of Babylon. Babylon, that state church, that mother of all harlots, that link to the Roman Catholic Church, that link that merges church and state together. A lot of blood has been shed when church and state have been mixed together. A lot of blood. A lot of people died. A lot of people were killed by the sword. 50 million baptized believers martyred by Rome. Martyred by the church-state mix. Martyred by Rome and the Jesuit priests and those that had control and commands and dealings with kings of the earth. The Bible says the kings of the earth have lived deliciously. They've lived off. They've gotten rich. They've worked together with her. I can tell you how many kings have martyred their own people for Rome. Listen, God is calling a remnant out of that Babylonian state church and that mindset. Because the 501c3 and incorporation, that government church, that state church, honors another head besides Jesus Christ. The sovereign of the corporation is the state. The very words mean creature of the state. That's what a corporation is. And there are thousands, there are millions of people all over the world that are starting to wake up and say, wait, something's not right with this. Something's not right with this. Such a simple thing to understand. Well, that must be a Baptist preacher's definition. No, that is the legal definition of a corporation. Okay? A creature of the state derives its authority to exist from the state. Brother Paul, it's not real hard, is it? It's real simple. Now, you can try to lie around it, and you can try to make something up around it, and you can try to pacify and justify, but the Bible says clearly, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. Amen. That you receive not of her plagues. Statist pastors all over the country are enslaving their churches for what? For bodies, bucks, and buildings. They're yoked up to the state so they can get favors from the state. So the state can justify them or the state can validate their existence. I'm fine with Jesus Christ validating the existence of this church.
Amen.
I don't need the state to do it. They have agreed that the state will be the final arbitrator of any problems in their church with its assets. See our sermon on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, how they go to the law and let the state be the judge. They lead, they don't deal with believers. If there's a matter of a problem that comes up in a church, they go to the courts. And that's a violation of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. By the way, remember this one thing. If you violate Romans 13, then you will fall for Revelation 13 and the mark of the beast. If you don't understand proper government, proper role of government, if you do not understand that government is to punish the evil and is to encourage the right, the good. They're to protect that which is good and they're to punish that which is evil. Good, evil, good, evil, good, evil. We have a whole series on Romans 13. You can listen. If you violate Romans 13, then you'll fall for Revelation 13. That's what we have now. We have a bunch of statists that worship America. Mm-hmm. Many pastors believe the mark will come through the state as a tax or to buy or sell or work in that time to come. Regardless, God is calling many of his people out of that and shining a light on the state church and showing what is really going on and what it's really all about. I want to read you something here. Give me a second here. This is really interesting, actually, but a second here. I've got to find it. What we have today, the IRS just came out with a report and admitted, under no uncertain circumstances, that they are monitoring pastors' sermons. They are listening to them and they are seeing if they violate any of their 501c3 nonprofit corporation commands that were given to them or rules that they are to follow. They are monitoring them and they are listening to them. The IRS has never been a beloved institution in America, but since its inception in 1913, following the passage of the 16th Amendment, the IRS has been the subject of a lot of jokes, and I mean a lot of people hate them, obviously. Today we have the IRS admitting openly. Why? Because atheists are saying, well, these 501c3 corporations, they can't do what they're doing. These corporations, these churches that are corporations, they can't get away with doing what they're doing. Like, they can't talk about these political things and they can't do these things. They can't get away with those. They're not allowed to. Somebody's got to stop them. Somebody's got to watch them. So they assured them. They assured them that they would monitor them for that. They are monitoring them. It says here in this article, it says here, the Beckett Fund's executive director, Christina Arriaga, released the following message. Within the IRS, there is, no lie, a political activist referral committee unit that investigates whether preachers have said something from the pulpit in violation of the IRS rules regarding preaching. It even has an acronym, PARC, P-A-R-C. Because in response to a lawsuit filed by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a lawsuit where we, the Beckett Fund, intervened, the IRS sent FFRF documents to reassure the activist atheist group that they were really working hard on being very diligent in their monitoring of preachers. The public only knows about this because of the Beckett Fund's intervention, forcing these documents to become part of the public record. Of course, the IRS rules on this matter are not very clear, so who knows exactly what the PARC unit really monitors or how. The official IRS letter, which is linked here, states this: with regard to these referrals that concern violations by churches, the PARC has determined that as of June 23rd, 2014, 99 churches made a high priority examination. Of these 99 churches, the number of churches alleged to have violated the prohibition during 2010 is 15, during 2011 is 18, during 2012 is 65, and during 2013 is 1. Okay, now, out of curiosity, what business does a church have submitting to rules that the IRS lays down for them on what they can speak? First of all, I don't care what the IRS says. Amen. I preach for God, not for the government. Amen! If you don't like that, tough. But I don't preach for the government, and I ain't submitting to the government, and I'm preaching what's in this book, and I don't care if they like it or not.
Amen.
I don't care. Amen. Never have before. Never cared if any of you gave me a dirty look. Never cared if any of you didn't like what I said. Never cared if somebody walked out that door and didn't like it and left this church. I don't care. I'm preaching what God called me to preach.
Amen.
And I'm not answering to you for it unless it's heresy, and then you have a charge against me, then make it.
Amen.
But if you think I'm gonna submit to the IRS, no, I know who my sovereign is.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ.
Right.
So they monitor your sermons. But I thought it was just a piece of paper. I thought there wasn't any enforcement. I thought it didn't really matter.
Sounds like it matters. Oh, I'm sure they're listening to my sermons anyway, even though I'm not a 501c3. And I'm sure I don't comply. And I'm sure I won't comply. And maybe they'll get saved because they're a bunch of vipers and they need it.
That's right.
People are waking up, though, to the truth, and it's all coming out. I get calls from people all over the country, all over the world, really. They've had enough of churches that won't preach sound doctrine, will not preach against wicked government and their status-worshipping churches. Pastors that do not inform their people. There's an article that just came out, Brother Finney sent around from a Barney Research. Did you see that? Anybody see that article? That article states that pastors are purposely keeping their people in the dark. Oh, that's just Pastor Cooley's wide-eyed conspiracies. No, it's right there. It's right in plain sight. Right there for you to see. That I didn't write the article. It was some liberal Barney Research, whatever it's called, Barnes Research, whatever. It wasn't me. And they're admitting it, that pastors are keeping their people in the dark for many reasons. Most of it you can chalk up to money, which is why people incorporate money. Pastors that do not inform their people that worship the Republican Party and won't stand up for the truth. But God is calling a remnant out. He says, come out from them, my people.
But you know what? There's a lot of pastors that get mad at me and preachers. They don't want me to draw the line so hard. Ease off, preacher. I'm wondering what these pastors want me to tell these people that contact me to go back to their 501c3 churches and go back to their corporations and be good little soldiers and just comply like you are. Just comply, sign up for incorporation, just comply with the government. Just comply and follow them. Just comply, turn your church into a creature of the state and just comply, 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 comply. And many of these, when they come and the Antichrist does appear and the mark of the beast comes, they're just going to comply. They're going to comply. They're going to comply. They're going to comply because they're not really his. Let me ask you a question. What about the lordship of Christ over his church? Who will stand up for him against the workers of iniquity and against evildoers? Why doesn't his lordship matter? I wonder if these pastors that get upset that don't want anybody to draw the line or say, don't leave a 501c3 church, just don't do it. I wonder if they ever think that their rebellion to Christ's lordship in his church might cause those underneath them to lose respect for their leadership. By the way, it matters how you lead. If you're not going to follow God's word and you realize that people underneath you are rebelling against you, it might be because you don't follow God's word. It might be because you're not submitted to God, but you want those underneath you to submit to you. See how that works? Doesn't work very well. If you're not going to submit to God and follow him and obey him, but you expect everybody else, well, they will do what they're taught to do. If you teach them rebellion to God, they will rebel against God. They'll rebel against you. That's how it works. That's right. When there's no final authority, it's just what you say, and your final authority is not the words of God. And you wonder why nobody follows. By the way, I've never told anybody to leave a 501c3 church. I told them that's between you and the Lord. But if you're conscious and your Lord won't allow you to continue to go to that church, then you better do things by the book. Amen. God is with a strong voice saying, come out of her, my people. But there's pastors that are saying, you know what? Yeah, we're... By the way, they are state churches. I want you to understand that. You know what the popular response is to this, though? Well, when they crack down, then we'll leave it. Okay, so the lordship of Christ isn't what you're concerned about. If you suffer, then you're going to do it. But until you suffer, until it has a response, until you have a problem, until they have a problem with you and they deal with you, and you're not leaving it. You're going to keep getting your goodies, and you're going to keep selling out to that until it's not profitable for you anymore. Never mind if it's profitable for the Lord. Never mind if it's in obedience to God. Never mind if it's following the lordship of Christ over his church. So lordship is not the issue, but money is. Come out of her, my people. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. The Lord is calling some pastors out as well. And God has showed us that. Brother Finney and I have helped many churches come out of that. But pastors, they need to come out of Babylon. It's time you come out of incorporation. It's time that you stand up for the Lord, and the lordship of Christ over his church is what governs your speech and what you do. They need to come out of the statist position. Their state-ran and led churches need to repent and get right with God. Just like we covered earlier. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The first love of a church is Christ. Now follow me here. The first love is Christ. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4, there were churches that left their first love. Would you say that if I sign a piece of paper that makes the church a creature of the state, that derives its authority to exist from the state, that derives its powers from the state, that is governed by the state, that files paperwork and complies with the state. You notice I didn't say complies with Jesus Christ. follows him, follows his word, obeys him. No, but they obey the state. They comply with the state. They fill their forms out for the state. A church is a spiritual entity, not a legal one. When it becomes a legal one, it becomes a state church. But Jesus Christ said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." When you've been given truth, you better obey it. When you've been given the truth, you better follow God. You better follow that which is right. The first love is Christ. He is the first love. Look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 36. "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Right there you see the first and second table of the law right there. You see that? What did he say here? He says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." First and second table of the law. Love to God, love to your brethren. Our law is based off the second table of the law and how you deal with your brethren, how you deal with your neighbors. How do we have... Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you another question about this sovereignty issue. Do we truly believe in the sovereignty of God over His church? Do we truly believe that it's Him that we should submit to? Do we truly believe that if we comply or we sign the church up, which, by the way, is voluntary? You know that, right? They voluntarily go there and they incorporate and they voluntarily sign this paperwork and place themselves under the submission of the government. I hear a lot of Calvinists that brag about how they believe in absolute sovereignty of God. Okay? Tell me how you can believe in the absolute sovereignty of God, yet sign your church up for incorporation and place them under the absolute sovereignty of the state. That is the most hypocritical thing. I've heard a lot of preachers brag, "We're Calvinists. We believe in the sovereignty of God." I believe in the sovereignty of God too, but I actually believe it. And we actually follow it. We believe it. So we believe He is sovereign over the church. We don't just come out and say, "Hey, we believe in the sovereignty of God," except we'll sign up for incorporation and we'll enslave the state to the church to the state. Seems kind of hypocritical, doesn't it? Come out of Babylon. Then there are churches that have the correct doctrine of baptism in local church, but are under the authority of the state. You know, Brother Paul was in a church like that. And I believe in proper baptism, proper order. I believe in ordaining and laying on of hands and sending men out. And I believe in the authority of the local church. But pray tell, could you answer me why you would be concerned with your baptism, yet you would sell out to the state and incorporate your church and place it directly under the IRS and directly under the state? Why? Why, when we live in a country where you don't have to? We have a First Amendment here and we don't have to do that. Our church is nothing more than a biblical First Amendment church. We don't have to do any of those things. Why would you? Why would you sign up for that? Why would you enslave the church like that? Why would you be so strong on authority and baptism, yet sign paperwork that says that you are submitted under the authority of the state? Doesn't make a lot of sense. How is it you can teach proper authority, then deny it in your practice? Come out of Babylon, that you be not partakers of her sins. Then you have holiness, brethren, that believe in the holiness of the Lord. But if we believe that, then why would we be a partaker of the sins of Babylon and incorporate our churches? Why would we yoke with the state when we don't have to? See, do we know that intimate relationship doesn't go unnoticed with the Lord?
Turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Please. A lot of these brethren will say, well, we just have churches that it's just a piece of paper. That's all it is. That's all that it matters. Well, we talked about that last hour. We're going to talk about a little bit this hour. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He's talking about a union, not forming unions. Now, with the world, with the church, or with the world, with the state, with anybody married, don't marry an unbeliever and a believer together, don't do those things. It's talking about unequally yoked relationships. Not to do that. And he's talking about his church here. And he says, why would you join the church of God to idols? Why would you do that? Why would you join it to a Roman state church? Why would you do that? Why would you join it to a state church mentality? Why would you do that? You have fundamental Baptist preachers that say they're King James only, sola scripture, but then they bow to the state with incorporation. You tell me why. But when people start waking up to it and you show them the truth and they find my stuff online and they see the truth of it and Brother Finney's website and everything else, they get upset with us. Like we're not supposed to tell the truth. We're supposed to hide it. Why? Because you're hiding it. We're supposed to. Because you won't do right. I'm not supposed to. I want you to understand something. The greatest fundamentalists in the history of America lost all of their cases for truth and right because they were yoked to the state. Lester Roloff, good man of God. Good man of God. Did a lot of great things, from what I understand from him anyway, unless there's something I don't know about, but he did a lot of great things. Do you know what happened to Lester Roloff? He went in and he tried to fight for this boys' home and everything else like that, that the church didn't have to submit to the state under this and they could run their boys' home the way that the Lord says in the Scriptures and everything else. Do you know what it came down to? The ruling came down to? His church incorporated, it said. It says, this church of Corpus Christi incorporated, you obey some of the laws of the corporation, yet you don't want to obey all the laws of the corporation. And he says, you don't get to do that. You lost. In Nebraska, same thing happened with the Christian school movement in Nebraska. This church wanted the Christian school. They wanted to do it according to the Word of God and follow everything else. Big, huge fight back in the 70s, I think it was, late 70s, early 80s, I think. I can't remember the years exactly. But anyway, huge fight that went on. What did it come down to? Well, after the pastor spent 6 months in jail or different times in jail, after he had did that, the judge took him in the back room and started talking to him. And he didn't like it either. The judge wasn't happy about it, okay? I mean, there's a lot of guys in law enforcement, they don't like what they have to do. They don't like it. They're not like they're happy about doing some things. I imagine there's some things that don't make them happy. But anyway, the judge said, could you read the first line of that? And it was the First Baptist Church Incorporated. And he had him read it twice. And Brother Sam Adams in the recent sermon told a story about this. And it clicked the second time he read it. He goes, oh, I get what you're saying. Because he said, really what the city officials want me to do is they want me to bulldoze this place down, everything, all of it, just bulldoze it down because you haven't obeyed your corporate rules. So he showed him what was wrong. He said, you're incorporated. You're a creature of the state. When you decide to do that, you're going to obey the state. You've already said you were going to follow. You already said we're the final arbitrator. You already said we're the ones in charge. We're the sovereign.
See, you don't get to sign that little piece of paper that's just a piece of paper. And then when daddy comes to enforce the rules, you say, well, I'm not going to do it.
That doesn't work that way. Right? It doesn't work that way.
And then they holler persecution. No, it's not persecution. You signed up for it. You signed for it. You agreed to follow their rules and not live by this book, not govern your church by this book. You agreed to that. I used this analogy earlier, but I want you to think about this. If signing up for corporation means that I'm a creature of the state, the church is a creature of the state, if the state is the final arbitrator, if we answer to the state, if they have access to all of our books and everything that we do, you say, what do you got to hide? Like I said before, everything. Everything. Everything.
Amen.
I want to hide everything. Why? Because I don't have to show you anything. That's why.
Amen.
Now, as a personal citizen, sure. I pay my taxes. I'm not in a tax war with anybody. I pay all my taxes. Hey, I don't make that much money anyway, so I don't got to worry about it. It ain't that much money. Every kid you have, it's more expensive. I pay my taxes. But churches don't pay taxes because churches are non-taxable if they're organized right under U.S. law. Recognized. Go to 501c3. Go to the website. Go to the IRS website. Publication says it right there. It's voluntary. So what do? They go and they incorporate and they add it and they do that. They go do that. They lock themselves in there. What do you have to hide? A lot. Because it's none of your business. I don't have to show you. You know, we used to live in America where people would say it's none of your business. People are like, yeah, you're right. It ain't none of my business. Now it's like, oh, that's offensive speech. Brother Paul said something offensive. Brother Paul always says something offensive. That's offensive speech. You know, it used to be you could say offensive speech and men weren't so like wimpy and limp-wristed that they sat there like a little girl and cried in the corner. Remember that when men used to be men, you could actually talk to them. You would talk rough and they were actually men. And they didn't curl up. That scared me. I feel threatened. Wow. Really? You feel threatened? Because somebody said that, you feel threatened? Really? Wow, how did you grow up anyway? I wonder how some of these people grew up that feel threatened. I felt threatened. Really? I mean, I used to get threatened every day. It was like part of life. When I went to high school, it was like part of life. He threatened me. I didn't go tell the teacher, he threatened me. I mean, we just didn't do that, man. I don't know. I'm scared for people today, man. I mean, almost everybody you see out there is like, this big the guys are wearing little girly jeans walking around I'm serious. You know what I mean? I mean, you see it everywhere. Like yesterday, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Two guys walking up holding hands like this big. I mean, it's like everybody, it's everywhere out there. It's like, man, where did you people grow up? Didn't your dad ever slug you once? Didn't you ever wrestle? Didn't you ever fight? Didn't you ever get beat up? Man, I'm telling you, it's scary. I feel threatened. Wow. Okay. I'm sorry, but it's like, you know, preaching in the open, really? I mean, like, because you watch movies where people where they have computer image demons and wickedness and scary, spooky, haunted stuff and all kinds of weird, bloody gore and everything else, and some preacher stand up on a pole. He threatened me. I was threatening. I'm scared of that. What have we come to? Although Brother Paul's beard is kind of intimidating. It is a little intimidating. I put the microphone on it the other day and hooked it up. It is a little intimidating. He stuck it on there. He started shaking his head with the microphone on. It was just going like this. It was a little scary. I mean, everybody thinks you're Amish, brother, when you preach. I mean, it's just like, is that you and Roy?
Yeah.
Amen. Exactly. The point, based on how I got off on that rabbit trail, I'm sorry, but it happens sometimes. But when you yoke up with the state, when you do that, when you decide to do that, it's no different than if your wife decided to do that, like I said earlier. If your wife decided, if she signed a piece of paper, an agreement with another man, that she would submit to that man, that she would follow that man's rules, that he would do some things with her. Oh, she can still be your wife, though. She can still stay home with you. She can still take care of your children. She can still do all of those things. But there's a few things that she needs to. She needs to take my advice. She needs to let me look at her paperwork all the time. She needs to submit to me in her finances. I need to know what she brings in. I need to know how she brings it in. But it's all just on paper. She's your wife in practicality, but on paper, she's mine. Would that set well? Would that be okay with you? Would you be okay with another man having your wife's name under his and stating that he would lead her? That she would go by his rules, that she would follow him? Would you be okay with that? I don't know any man that would say yes to that. But the Lord, it's His church. The church is to be His bride. But all of a sudden, He doesn't get to have the rule. And His rules aren't good enough no more. You got to go rebel against Him and go find some other rules, because those rules will work better. So we set up corporations now in churches. And it's straight out of Babylon is all it is. That's, the church is first incorporated, by the way, from the Roman Catholic Church way back then in Rome when they wanted buildings. And Constantine and those others said, hey, I'll tell you what, we'll build you that big building. You just incorporate and we'll build you that big building. That's where it comes from. It comes from Rome. That's where they got it at. And they do it. So they incorporate. Why? Because they get the building, they get the money. And it's easy. No, it's not easy. You ever seen that paperwork? It's not easy. It's easier just to throw it all away like I did. I'm not doing that. Let me file that under I don't care. That's what I do. File that under I don't care. Amen. Because that's what I did with it. Now, there's some confusion out there. I want to straighten something up. There are some people out there that are talking about this, and they've made some accusations against people that stand against 501c3 and church incorporation. They have made some accusations. They say, we're state incorporated, but we're not 501c3 incorporated. So they're saying we're a little bit different than that. So I want to explain to you what we are here. We're a spiritual entity here, okay? This church has no incorporation. It has no tax identification number. It does not act as a legal entity. It does not operate as a legal entity. When you give money, you give it to the Lord, and you give it through to your pastor through gifts and other things for their needs and for the needs of the assembly. You don't give it to the church. You are the church!
Amen.
You got it? You are the church. You don't give money to the church. You give money to people. Not to the church. You're the church. If you really did it the way they did, you would just keep your money. I like the way we do it better. Amen? I like the way we do it better, because then you give it to the Lord. Amen. He says, I keep it all. I give it to the church. He gave it to me. It's the church. See how that works? No. Okay? You give your money. When you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the pastor who has been entrusted with that pays out what needs to be paid and does what he needs to do. That's right. Giving is done to the Lord. It's not done to the church. I have a sermon on that called 501c3 Giving versus New Testament Giving. You can check that out if you have a question about that. But anyway, there are churches out there today that are incorporated through the state. Okay? They are incorporated through the state, but they are not incorporated through 501c3 status directly. However, they are a 508 church. What does that mean? Well, U.S. Code Section 508 says this, and I want you to listen to this.
New organizations must notify the secretary they are applying for recognition of Section 501c3 status, except as provided in subsection, an organization organized after October 9, 1969 shall not be treated as an organization described in Section 501c3. Well, what are the exceptions? For any, the exceptions are this. Churches, their integrated auxiliaries, and conventions or associations of churches. What does that mean? Well, it means that they're already granted non-tax status, they're already non-profit tax status. They're already offered it if they follow and submit to 508. But we don't submit to 508 here because we're not a legal entity. We're not a nonprofit organization. Right. We are not a 508 church. But see, some of these guys are incorporating through the state, and what they're doing is through their state, like the state of Minnesota, and they're saying, well, we're not 501c3. So they go out and tell everybody, well, we're not 501c3. We're not 501c3. But all of them offer tax deductible donation slips back to their people. All of them offer them so you can write it off. Listen, we're not a tax station. We can't do that. We don't do that here. However, I don't think the IRS could stop you from writing anything off. Because they're not supposed to be able to do that. They're not supposed to persecute. Remember, Congress shall make no law concerning the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. How can a state church have more, get more than a First Amendment church? Shouldn't be able to. Anyway. But you're not giving to the church, you're giving to the Lord. Now, if they say you can give to the Lord, then that's their business. Corporations of any community, chest, fund, or foundation organized and operated, listen to this, exclusively for religious, charitable, scientific, testing for public safety, literary, educational purposes, or to foster national or international amateur sports competition. Boy, that's it. Isn't it nice to have a church all just linked up into that? Hey, we're just like a sports, we're like a nonprofit, we're like the Wiccan church down the road. We're all just one big happy family. It says here, no part of their net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any private shareholder, individual, nor substantial. Basically, what are they doing? They're submitting to it. A church which includes the above requirements that I just read, which are 501c3 requirements, by the way. They're the same thing. 508 is 501c3 requirements. A church which includes the above requirements in any of her corporate papers, this is a statement from Brother Finney, has become a Section 508 church. The requirements can be included in the Articles of Incorporation, Constitution, or some other document, such as an affidavit of religious corporation, signed by appropriate church officers, filed with the Secretary of State. Some churches proudly proclaim that they are not 501c3 churches, while they are 508 churches, or effectively the same as 501c3 churches. What are they doing? What they're doing is they're incorporating with the state, but then when we preach against 501c3, they say, well, see, we're not a 501c3. You wrote all the language for 501c3 in your state incorporation, Articles of Incorporation, which means what? Which means you comply with 508, which means you are granted 501c3 status automatically. See how that works? But there's a lot of guys that are slipping around that. So their churches are really corporations. But they're just not filing Form 1023. You say, that all sounds like Greek to me. Well, I memorized it. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. But that form 1023, 1023, applies for 501c3 status. You say, so what's the difference? Well, if the church down the road says we're not a 501c3, but they incorporate their church through the state, they include the language of 501c3 in their papers of incorporation. So what does the federal government say? You are automatically under Section 508 granted 501c3 status. Does that make sense? Are you getting me? So basically they're deceiving their people and they're lying. There's a pastor named Stephen Anderson that got up there and he railed against churches that preach against 501c3, like ours. He doesn't like me because I actually believe in repentance.
Amen.
Anyway, that made him mad. He actually put me on a blacklist for that. I'm on the repentance blacklist. I thought I'd get a t-shirt out of that deal, but I didn't even get one of those. You figured you'd get a nice t-shirt that said repentance blacklist. Anyway, I'm on there and he argued with me, blocked me on Facebook and got mad at me. And he hurt my feelings when he blocked. Not really, he didn't. I'm just kidding. But anyway, then he starts preaching a sermon against Pastor Sam Adams out in Florida, who preaches against 501c3 and everything. And he starts, well, we're not, he said, Faithful Word Baptist is not a 501c3. Well, no, but you included 501c3 in your paperwork, you weasel. And you lied and said you didn't. And you lied to your people. You are a corporation. You were automatically granted 501c3 status, even though you did not file Form 1023. See, that's how these guys are getting around it. It's wrong to do that. Now, some may be deceived and some may not understand. Well, you just got an education. Listen to it. Because that is just straight from the IRS's website. If you look at what it says, that's exactly what it says. But these guys are still enslaving the Lord's church into a state incorporation. They're still doing the same thing. I know this was a technical message, but it needed to be preached. I want people to understand the truth about this issue because it does matter, and it's going to matter in the time to come even more, especially when the sodomites start busting doors down of 501c3 churches, ordering and commanding that they have the same rights as anybody else. Because you are not private institutions. You are public charitable institutions. You are granted authority by the sovereign of the state. The state is the sovereign, and you are granted authority, and they are going to try to push the envelope. And even David Gibbs said, the traitor David Gibbs said this. He said that his biggest concern is that the homosexuals would use the public policy clause to force their way into churches. This is a private assembly. Right. It's private. It's not public. We're not a charitable trust. We're not a corporation. We live to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Our church exists to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not exist for the purposes of the state. It does not exist for the purposes of the community. It exists for the purposes to honor Jesus Christ. It does not exist to make the community happy. It does not exist to make little cupcakes and cookies for everybody to the politicians and the officials. It exists to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to stand for Him in these end times of wicked apostasy. That's what we're here for. But there's a lot of people that are fooling people and tricking people out there and saying, well, you know what? We're not a corporation, or we're not 501c3. You don't have to be if you include it in your paperwork. You don't have to be if you comply with 508 status. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Did you know that in the book of Exodus, one more verse and I'm done. We'll be done here. Sorry. One more verse here. Let's see here. It's 1 o'clock already, man. I'm telling you. I got some hungry men looking at me here. I got to get moving here. But in Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 20, we won't go there, but you reference it later. Exodus chapter 8, verse number 20, what happened? Israel had received all of the plagues up until one when God made a division. What God is saying here is, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. God is warning people right now that judgment is coming in these churches, that judgment is coming. And you know what? You are going to receive some of those plagues of God. Now, He may differentiate in the end by not being consumed by all of them, but you're going to receive those plagues. These churches that have yoked, they need to come out of Babylon. They need to come out of the state church. They need to stop playing games with definitions and everything else and stop running their churches like businesses, like corporate boardrooms, and repent of that and come out and get their church organized directly under Christ, because it's not illegal to do that in America. Even if it was, I'd do it anyway. But it's not illegal in America because I obey Christ over all else. It's His church, not the state's. Understand that. Bold speaking on this is what's needed. Straightforward speech is what's needed. And a call to action to come out of Babylon. Come out of that state church. Yes, a preacher, would you ever go back to a 501c3? No. No, I would not. Would you go back to a state incorporated church? No, I would not. No, I would not. Would I expect any of you to? No, I would not. Do I expect other people to? No, I don't. If they come and they understand the issue, they say that, no, I don't expect them to go to that. I mean, you ask me my opinion. I only can deal with you here. But anybody, if you ask me, well, I've had people call me and say, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Am I really supposed to go to this? I mean, they're full of a bunch of Masons and witchcraft and everything else. They're 501c3 incorporated. They're creatures of the state. Should I go back to that church? How do you ask me that question? What am I supposed to say? well, this is the truth. So you give them the truth. What am I supposed to do? Compromise? Say, no, God's okay with that. It's no big deal. No, he says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. It's time we start realizing we need to come out of political Babylon. We need to come out of religious Babylon. We need to come out of that status position. We need to stand for what's right. I'm not speaking lawlessness. I'm not speaking anarchy. I'm speaking, these are the words of God. It's his church. Why do you think we have a First Amendment in the first place in America? Because there were some men that said, no, we're not going to do that. We'll sit in jail. We ain't doing that. Go listen to John Bunyan's trial on sermon audio. Any of you listen to that yet? Anybody listen to that yet? Listen to John Bunyan's audio on there. Hey, guess what, guys? There's 350 sermons on there. They're there for you to listen to. Okay? Right. It's not just for people out there. You need to listen to some stuff too. Amen. If you got time to mess around, you got time to listen to something. Read your Bible first, so. Amen. But those sermons are there for you to listen to. That's what they're there for. That's why I put it on there. There's like 350 sermons on there. And they're all in series and categories. And Sarah and Mom and them, they're working on those CDs and sending them out and everything. And organizing the series is up and trying to get a good list going so they're all easy for people to find. So they can just click on it and find that. Download them, will you? Listen to them. They'll help you. You'll actually be able to intelligently explain something to somebody when they come up with an excuse like, well, what's the big deal about 501c3? Why does it matter? Well, I ask you this, okay? If your family and your friends, if they're concerned about 501c3, I mean, after all, I did preach like 10 messages on it, and they are all on there. I mean, and I do offer, and we do offer free books at GeraldFinney.wordpress.com, and they're all free. All you got to do is click on it. Why are you going to ask me a question that's already answered on there? Don't be lazy. Read it and study it. And listen, all you got to do is listen. We explain every issue that 501c3 there and why we hold the stand that we do against incorporation, whether it be state, 508, 501c3, whatever it is, why we stand against it. It's not hard. Listen. Learn. Put down the remote. Stop watching stupid television. It ain't doing you any good in the first place. And why, it ain't going to increase your brain level any, okay? I promise you, it won't make you any smarter. It didn't help me at all. See what you have to put up with now from years of television? Me, okay? So just remember that, all right? That'd be a lesson to you. Father, thank you, Lord, for your words. And Lord, I know this was more understanding of this state church thing and everything else. But Lord, I pray that it be used for others to help them. I pray that it be used to strengthen our position. We can explain to people why we hold the things we do and why we do the things that we do. Because some folks wonder, some family, some friends out there of these precious people here, they wonder, why does Pastor Cooley hold to this? Why does Old Paz hold to this? Why do they hold so strong? Why does Brother Gerald Finney do what he does here with Church State Law Ministries? Why do we help churches all over the country to organize right? Because we believe the Scriptures. We have scriptural reasons for it as well as legal ones. Lord, I just pray. I pray that folks would listen. I pray that folks would come out of Babylon and be not a partaker of her sins and understand the seriousness of these end times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.